Amen. Amen. Well, again, thanks so much, everyone, for this special time for our church. And we're going to go jump into our message today. I want to welcome especially those who are here for the first time, probably being, you know, oh, what's happening here today? I'm not sure how to kind of paint a picture. But we, as a multicultural church, we embrace the calling that God has for us. If you're here for the first time, second time, and you're kind of exploring, figuring out who are we, we're all about helping people to connect, to experience the fullness of God in their hearts, in their life. That's what we want. That's why we exist here, to help people to connect to Jesus and allow Jesus to lead. So that's, you know, summary of our identity. We multicultural, multi-ethnic, diverse in that sense of the word. So with that in mind, let me pray to enter into our word today. Father in heaven, thanks so much for this special day. But Father, to you, it's all the glory. It is to you, Father, it's through you and to you that we do all these things, Father. So we surrender our lives, this moment, our minds, our hearts to your word. And Father, I pray that you will help me to convey, to speak, to lead, and to teach, Father, from your heart to my family here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So last weekend, we started this series of messages on being refreshed. And the motivation for this message is that we all know that life is it's hard, that our souls, our spirits are getting into this funky type of situation where we feel like I'm supposed to be, you know, experiencing shalom, peace, joy, wholeness in my life. But the reality is that for many of us, that's not the case. We don't enjoy that constantly. It is the exception, right, in a sense. And we, as pastor, we have been thinking, why is it that the church is almost like dragging, you know, to accomplish its mission? Why is it that the church people, the children of God, are in that constant type of, how are you doing? It's either busy or tired or this, you know, discouraged, something not as inspiring, right? And we're not saying this with the idea of that's bad. It's just a reality. That's a reality. We all are there. So we were thinking, okay, what's missing then? What is causing? What's the problem that we are facing? That's a question that we're trying to figure out. What is it that is missing? What's the problem? So what's the question that we have that we started last weekend with was that, what's the problem that we are facing today? And we had a few answers. The first one is that life is too busy. We acknowledge that we are busy. And when we think of it, okay, what's happening? Why are we so busy? And what is busyness causing to our soul? That's the question. What's busyness causing to the things that actually matter in life? So busyness yields the life of that is hurried. We're always in this rush, tense, searching, like what's next, right? We're fast, we're speed. We don't take full stop, you know, at the four way, you know, we're just rushing through the everything. We're just going. Then this approach to life, this hurriedness, yields burnout. And burnout affects all our systems so that we start malfunctioning. And this malfunctioning, we think it's the idea that when I become unavailable to the people that truly matter in our lives, this is the malfunctioning that we get into. After we burn out, we start malfunctioning. So malfunction is when I become unavailable to the people that truly matter in my life, those who are the reason why I'm still in this world, God, family, and those who I am called to love and serve. You think, why am I still in this world? Why am I not dead? That's an important question. People die every second. So why are you still here? So there is a reason why. So it's relationships, it's people. So the malfunctioning affects directly these relationships. God, family, and those who I am called to love and serve. We also said last week in that the at the root of this issue, of busyness and hurriedness, is that is the problem of us trusting the wrong source of contentment. We were created for contentment. God was so generous the moment that he created us. We were created, we are wired in that sense to experience fullness of joy, contentment. That's not the exception. We were created for that, and that's why we search for it, right? We search for it in the next experience, the next nice and coolest thing in the city, the coolest Airbnb, the coolest vacation, until we saturate everything and we're still discontent, dissatisfied. You can go everywhere in the world and get away and find contentment in anything, whatever that is, new shoes, new clothes, whatever that is, whatever experience, whatever thing. And it's that just is the reality. We were made for contentment. So we're searching for contentment. And the reason or the root of the problem of busyness is connected to this idea of contentment. Why? Because when I am not content, I am dissatisfied, and therefore getting busy seems right. If I am busy, it's because I am important to a situation, to something, or to somebody. So busyness becomes the reason to, in our minds, that we think that we are important, and we're searching for that. Contentment has to do with that in our hearts. I feel important, I feel meaningful, I feel useful to somebody or to something. So the more busy I am means that I am somehow important, and then I receive something. That's why the social media is just the best business right now, because people just go there and they are satisfied for a second when people like the pictures or whatever they are doing in Cancun or Hawaii, right? I feel good, I feel loved, I feel accepted, I feel confirmed, I'm thriving, you know? And the reality is that probably you're not. You're just in an excuse, in a moment, 5 days, 7 days, that is a break from the reality. So what we're trying to do here is really go the other way around and reverse that. That the exception becomes the norm to our hearts. Who here, like for real, wants to keep this busyness, greenness in your life that is drying up your soul, your relationship, the thing that actually matter in your life? What are we searching? Honestly, when you think of it, it's contentment, peace. The bottom line is that we want to be at peace. And we replace the source of that peace with things, experiences, social media, our phone. I put my phone here, I'm with you. I put my phone here while I was setting up this during the 5 minutes, and I was like, oh, I'm missing something. I went like, oh, shoot. Like, honestly, this thing has become part of our DNA now. Woke up in the morning and they say, where is my phone? You know, and see what happened. Going to the toilet, I am at the phone. Am I alone on that one? And then you stay there for 20 minutes, right? And you know, and at the end, I just wasted 20. Honestly, what happened in those 20 minutes? Like, were you laughing at something? Was something good? Like, were you with God? I don't know. And when you think of it, it's the reality of I'm searching for something, you know? You go to bed the same thing. So today's message is about margins. How do we get that? So last week, and we started with the idea of Sabbath, right? So I have this graphic here. You can look at the screen. It's the idea of discontentment. How do you know that you are not content with your life? These are a few words there. You're anxious, constantly anxious. You have apathy for the things that actually matter. You don't suffer with people. You look at earthquake, whatever, I'm gonna go to the next you know, real there, that the fun one, right? So you become that. You become critical. You're always cynical. Something is wrong with everybody but me. You are, this is a word that I practiced with my wife yesterday, so irritable. Yeah, that. And you, anything in your house, at your house, with your kids, you just explode. You're not content, you're not happy, and you just on edge all the time. Right? You're complaining. You become self-focused, just about you, right? You start developing codependent stuff, whether that's, you know, work, people, substances. You're lacking joy. That's a big one. You're not joyful. Right? Also, you're greedy. You think of searching for things that are going to supply that contentment. And you also envy. This is a big one, too, in America. You know, oh, my friends were just to Hawaii. I want to go there. And then I'm going to, you know, you just want to compete. You know, that's the thing in America is the keeping up with Genesis. Is that it? Right? Yeah, so in Colombia, we might say something, keeping up with the gringos. Something like that. So, because that's the idea. For Latin America, I mean, Americans is just like, I want to be like that. Until they come here, it's like, I want to go back. So what's the solution to this busy, hurriedness and thing? So we started with Sabbath. We have to give a huge emphasis to Sabbath. And this here is an idea that I, you know, about how to represent it. So we were created like this, babies, right? Pure, nothing in our agenda, right? We just eat, poop, pee, sleep, cry a lot. So, and God said, after he created everything, what was the first thing that comes after the creation of man? In Genesis, Sabbath. He said, I'm done. You were created. So listen up, my child. You're going to start your journey by resting. He gave the Sabbath right after he created us. And he said, you're going to keep it holy. You're going to keep it holy. So he created some margins here. Right? So he started and he said, whatever your story is going to be, it needs to be within here. You keep. If I can do this. This play around here is for you and me, for you to really build a margin for all the things that are going to be important to you. So God created our story within margins. He gives that. What's the context of Sabbath? If you recall, the story of Israel started with so much pain in Egypt. They were slaves. They were working from Monday to Sunday all day long, probably sleeping a little bit. They were just slaves used for building those pyramids, right? And we go out and try to take pictures like that was, I don't know. I just picture like all those constructions, like those, the Israelites working hard, slaves. When Moses received this wonderful revelation of the five books, of these first five books of the Bible, the message of Moses at the start writing it, obviously Moses wasn't at the creation, was not at the creation of everything. So how do we know this? A revelation from God to Moses. In that revelation, God says, make sure that you know, that the people know, that I'm telling you that Sabbath is so important for their journey. When Moses received this, they were in a journey they were already out of Egypt in a journey to the promised land. Those 40 years that we heard about, that's when Moses received this revelation of Genesis, Exodus, all those books, the first five books, right? And he received this revelation. So the Sabbath is given to Moses in the context of a slavery. And God is saying, it's so important that you, my children, understand that Sabbath as a law, because we also know that it is within the Ten Commandments. It is a law given to us. It's a gift in the context of a slavery. And somehow, that is where that busy life and hurriedness somehow create to ourselves. We were slaves to rushing and going and just thinking and being preoccupied. That's what hurriedness says. You're always thinking what's next. You're texting here thinking you're in a meeting with friends, and you're also texting what's going to happen in the evening with the next appointment that you have. So you're not in the moment. So we're slaves of hurriedness. In the context of that, God gave this gift of Sabbath. That's why it's so important, because God is saying, we need to heal. You need to heal, and you need Sabbath for you. And Sabbath, we know, I mean, some of us might know that it goes not only to people, but also to the land, because the land needed to heal. So the land also needed a rest, so people would not work in a season in their life. There was this protection for them also to protect the land, to heal. So Sabbath as a solution for our hurriedness is the idea of protecting this space so that we do not affect, we do not burn out and affect the relationship that truly matter in our life. So Sabbath is a gift that for some of us in our culture is like a waste of time. How in the world can I stop doing something that can be good, and we do things that are good all the time, most of the time? How can I do that and just giving up this time? Sabbath is a time to heal so that you have margin in your life to not hurt the things that are actually important in you. So how do we build these margins? That's today's topic, living within margins. So I'm going to start by, I have this in here. So our story starts with God. In order for us to enjoy God for what he is, we need to be amazed by him. Because there is a huge difference between being son, daughter of God, and being a religious person. Son or daughter of God, enjoy the Father. We enjoy the Father. And until we get this idea that God is a good thing for our soul, for our life, for our rest, until we really are amazed by his goodness, his glory, his power, we will not be able to be in shalom, in peace, in our souls. God might look like a religion. And that's why a lot of you struggle with this idea. God and church. Yeah, he's the creator. Yes, but I don't have that contentment in my soul about him. So the Sabbath allowed the opportunity for us to disconnect from 6 days of work, whatever that is. So most of us might say, well, I work 5 days, 40 hours. To rethink and to go and think, did I this week have an encounter with God that in which I was amazed by his glory, by his goodness? Did I explore something new about God that was either reminding me, taking me to a new place in my soul, in my spirit about who he is, so that I feel attracted to him? The Sabbath, this boundary here, allows us to protect the notion of God, that so that God will not become a religion to our souls. There is a huge difference. Religions is just systems, things that I do. God is a person. And when we are not, we don't have that understanding, God will continue taste like a religion, like a rule that I don't want to step into, because we don't like rules. And God is not that. God is about wholeness. Is about giving us back our identity, the way how he created us. That's why we don't want to walk into God, because we're afraid of the things that he might take away from me, right? And God is not in the business of taking things away from you. He is in the business of giving you back what belongs to you already, wholeness. And in that, yes, you might feel willing from your will, from just voluntarily giving up things. That is a process of discipleship and transformation. You realize how much God loves you and how much he wants to give his identity in you, that you said, you know what? I don't want that anymore in my life. I'm giving up. But probably you think that God is about taking things from you, and I'm not ready for that. And God is not in the business of ruining your life. He's in the business of reclaiming what's beautiful for you. And that is transformation. So margins allows us to protect this, the most precious thing that we have in our lives. Because when we sit down, whatever that day might be for you, that Sabbath, I try Mondays for me to be that. You sit down and you really force yourself to put your phone away, computer, emails, whatever, and you start thinking, how are we doing that? How are we doing? What's happening? You start thinking, this week I felt tempted. I feel, with some restlessness in my soul. And you explore your soul. You take that time. You slow down. You're not wasting time. You're better. You're making yourself better for the things that are important in your life. A confession. When Daniela was born, never thought I would say this. Let me drink some water. Daniela is my youngest daughter. There was so much happening in our lives. We were planting this church. It's not the best time to have a new baby, okay? We were planting a church. And I was so, irritated. Ashley and I, we had like short fuse in our temper. So like a lot of tension. I think Ashley went to grab, I think it was Chinese food. I don't know. We just wanted to get through the day. We were tired. And I told Daniela, told Alex, my oldest daughter, here's a baby. And Daniela, I don't know how old she was, still like a really little. I think she was just learning to push herself. And she was on the bed. Told Alex about 5 times, be careful. Be careful. She's already, pushing herself. And I was in the living room, I don't know, doing what. And I heard that. Boom. And I just went to the room. Like an ambulance in my house. And I didn't have margin. I didn't have margin for grace. I didn't have margin for slowing down in the moment, for considering the pain of Alexandra, the guilt, the shame. I didn't have margin. And I went off and I started walking around in a house. A kitchen is like this loop. And you go to the kitchen, you go to the living room, and you go to another room there. And I start walking until how can I do this? I don't want to hurt Alex. I don't want to hurt anybody. And I was already, emotionally, Alex was freaking out. Like, oh, my dad, what did I do? My dad is upset. And I just saw a wall say, like, punch me, punch me. And I just went and punched the wall and make a huge hole. And I was like, I think I got it out of my system, but that's not the way to do it. So the idea of margin is to protect the things that you love. Because when you have margin, you are at peace with your soul. You react better. You take it slow and you think through before you react. Whether that is temptation, whether you had a bad day at work and you need escape, and then instead of and praying, you go to the bar. Instead of seeking God or talking to your spouse or your friend for good conversation, godly conversation, hey, I feel like this, you go and turn on, just go to your private corner with your phone or your computer, and you start watching stuff that you're not supposed to be watching. Talking to men, right? Some women might too, but talking mostly to men. Right? And then you have those escapes. You're coping discontentment with codependencies. So the margin, this margin of the Sabbath allows you to be at peace and to react in a good way to temptation and to those situations in that are causing you to be who you don't want to be. That's the thing. It's like, that's the irony. We don't want to be that. We don't want to be busy and hurry. So a lot of context for this topic, and I'm going to give you three stories from the Bible to help you with that. The first one is Jesus' call to what's needed. Margins is I mean, I think there are books with that title. It looks like a really good title for a book, but this is biblical too. So the first passage is in Luke 10, 41 and 42. Most of us know the story. Jesus is visiting friends, and in the business and the, you know, in that moment, there were two sisters, and one of those was Martha and the other one was Mary. And Martha was so busy, jealous, envy. And Jesus said this to her, "Martha, Martha," like really like Martha, like that's emphasis. The Lord answered because she was complaining about her sister not helping with the chores around the house. She thought busyness was a good thing. She's being busy was good, right? And she said, the Lord answered, "You're worried." Just pay attention. This is lack of margin. "You're worried and upset about many things." Just slow down there and read those things again. "Many things, Martha, just prune, start pruning." And then he said in 42, "But few things are needed." Many versus few. That's margin. "Or indeed only one," Jesus is saying. "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Just think of it. When you're full of shalom and peace, when you have God and Jesus in you in every moment, every aspect of your life, situations, things, baby dropping on the floor will not take that from you. If I am at peace in the moment, I react as a loving father that is merciful and kind to my daughter. But because I didn't have margin, I was irritated about church planting and figuring out things. I had so many things, financials maybe, and I was busy. I didn't have margin. So it was taken away from me in that moment. That thing, that only thing, which is Jesus in my heart. Jesus also, in a moment when he was in the pinnacle of his ministry, he was doing a lot of things. He just had fed about 5,000 people. He was going to be made king, you know. What a great thing. Like, sure, I want to be your king. And in the moment when Jesus realized this is not right for my soul, he did this. This is Mark 6, 45 and 46. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get onto a boat and told him to go ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went upon a mountainside to pray. Jesus was busy. He could have kept going with miracles and teaching, right? It was good thing. And he said, I need to separate myself. I need boundaries. You guys go ahead. I'm also going to go over here. Yes, there is so many needs are there. I think this is good for today. I need to recharge with my father. I need to be with my father. So the other passage, Sharonda mentioned it at the beginning. We know be still. This is also margin. And Psalm 46, it says it's a beautiful psalm. And we know in 10 verses 10 and 11, it says, be still. The Lord says, be still and know that I am God. What does that mean? This is just a beautiful praise we see all over. But what is the context of that psalm? The context will go to verse 2. Verse 2 says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. This is stress. This is panic, right? And then he says in verse 3, though its water roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God is saying, in the context of that, when you feel like you need to react, when you need to take action in the moment that you need to figure out and troubleshoot everything, God is saying, be still and know that I'm God. Similar to that, in the story of escaping from Egypt, people of God, Moses, right before Moses did the miracle of opening the sea, In Exodus 14, 14, this is such a powerful story here. God says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Who in the world would have believed that? I have a bunch of Egyptians behind me, ready to kill me. You're telling me to stop? I need to keep running. I need to find a solution. I need to hide. So, margins are hijacked constantly. So I'm gonna put here. So all these things start taking your priorities. You have God, family, the people that you're supposed to be serving. That's the church. God has created a specific design for us. In 2 weeks, Misha is gonna be talking about purpose. That has to do with purpose. When you have clear of your purpose, your mission, your calling, you will protect this even better because you're clear. Things that hijack this, that in many ways is at the root of this issue, lack of discontentment, but also people pleasing. Saying yes to everything, not being mature enough to say, hey, I can't, it's time. Are you still going to continue being my friend? If I say no, it's okay. Just be loving, be respectful. Protect what matters in your life and you will be joyful and at peace. So I believe that the reason why many of us start using the margins is because we don't want to walk into the mystery of faith and trusting for what the Lord can do when you feel that you need to have control of that time. Sabbath is such a temptation to abuse it because we feel God is not going to provide for whatever I need if I don't take action and abuse every second of my life. So the margin is going to help with that. And in a relationship, and I have experienced this with my wife, and I think she gave me permission to mention this, because this is a relationship that really we need to protect, those who are married. Obviously God is going to be there, but it connects. When we are irritated, we're fighting, we're like, okay, we need a break. Okay, let's go to Netflix, right? And we think Netflix is going to provide that sense of peace and rest. And it does it for, 2 hours and 7 minutes, 35 seconds. That's a movie, kind of like. And then after that, let's have a drink, and then you're going to have some intimacy. I love you too. And the next day, the same fight. That's no Sabbath. That's no margin, right? You can do that, but before that, you need to come and really face it. You need to talk, what's wrong with that? And at the conclusion, you say, we need God. The mystery of the provision that God will give to you in that moment is that. The worship team can start coming up. So we don't have faith. Like the Israelites, God said, wait for me, I'm going to fight for you. That is an invitation to the mystery of the provision. The people that give generously to church, you would think, because they have extra. No, they have faith. I have known poor people, rich people that they give generously and they're always provided for. It's the same principle. It's a mystery. You don't know how it happens, but somehow respecting what God has asked us to do is a step of faith that God will use somehow to bless us and to give us back that we think that we are missing for not taking action. So you're missing something in the Sabbath. Oh, I need to do so many things I want to do. And God is telling, just be still. Trust me. It will work out. You don't have to fill all the spaces in your life. It is okay. So it is a mystery. To experience the mystery of provision of whatever you think you're missing now for not having margins, while I am still in need to let go whatever is not needed. That is margin. Creating or making extra time, resources, whatever you have available for the things that matter in life, for whatever extra beyond of what's necessary, you have margin for those things. And this is where the hard work is done, when you start creating those margins, when you let go of what's not needed to trust that God will fight for you. That is having clear margins, and your life will be better. If we let go of a lot of things, there are a lot of things that we don't need in our lives that are hijacking the important things. That's where the hard work is needed. And the Sabbath is going to help with that. Start setting apart time apart with you. Just writing down how am I gladness? How am I joyful? How's my soul today? And start comparing that to your relationship, God, family, and people that you're called to love and serve. And you will realize when there is a synchronization, you are at peace with yourself. Otherwise, you'll continue restless, dragging yourself to everything in life without contentment. Continue being anxious, irritated, frustrated, complaining, cynical, critical, dragging yourself, trying to please every situation. And the Sabbath will help with that. But you need to create those margins to protect that. His life is simpler and easier than we think. And when we really put our priorities in line, we'll stay within the margins. If you want to respond to this message, to this gift of the Sabbath today, in a way, we are going to worship with one more song. I'm going to invite you to stand up. You can stay there. If you need to breathe, that's fine. I need to breathe. If you just need to sit down and be there and just enjoy the message of this song and receive the peace of God to your soul that you're needing today. God in heaven, I pray that we all will be refreshed this morning. We need refreshment in our families, in our relationship with you. We need to reclaim that love of the Father to our souls. We don't need to prove anything to anybody, not even to ourselves. And I know, Father, that everyone here is a different season. Raising kids, and emptiness, all those things are different. But the bottom line is that we need you to be at the center. Because you're the reason why we live for you. You created us. So, Father, I pray that your peace will be upon us. Father, bless us with your spirit this moment as we sing, as we worship you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit, do your will. Heal us, restore us, give us peace, give us shalom. If you're with your spouse, I'm going to encourage you to be next to your spouse. Just hold hands. If you are with a relative, just be there and start sensing the peace of God, the shalom, as you really come close to each other and receive that peace from God to you. Let's sing together, church.
Thank you, Lord.